So we're moving right along with our ministry here at the church. And as you know, one of the community pastors for many years passed on this week or this past Saturday. He was memorialized on Friday, which is October the 23rd, Reverend S.C. Terry. So keep his family in prayer. Reverend S.C. Terry served for many years at the New Free Spring Baptist Church in Rustburg, and beloved of all the community, certainly here at Crossroad, and we'll be sharing online his memorial program a little bit later on. I'll send that to Eddie so he can put it online. I want to challenge us that we would fast and pray for 3 days this week. Fast and pray. Fast the way that you feel the Lord is leading you. But as we fast and pray, day one, I would like for us to spend that time in personal confession, that we would talk to God on things that's going on in our life, personal confession, whether it be over things that we feel strongly about or confessing our sin, but personal confession, knowing that the Lord is God. Then day two, pray for our nation, that God would help us, would bring us to repentance, would bring us to Him and to acknowledge of His truth. And then on day three, of course, we ask that you would pray for our church. Pray that despite all of the challenges, we would be able to be a triumphant church, a mighty church in Christ Jesus. God did not call us to this time of weakness. We're a strong church, and we've got to believe that. We've got to believe that. We've got to demonstrate the truth that God has revealed to us through His Word and stand on it, stand firm. We appreciate the fact that Reverend Givens was reminding you of your Sunday school. Study the Word. Get into the Word. And then, as Reverend Ray was encouraging us in prayer, spend time talking to your God, knowing that He is the Lord. So we thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to fast this week, 3 days. You pick the days. You talk to God about how you're going to fast, but do fast and pray. If there's nothing more but giving up ice cream, give up something. Give up something. And be sure to follow your medical advice from your doctor. Don't do things that would challenge your health, but certainly give time this week to praying and talking to the Lord. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. Thank you again for being faithful. I think we've covered about everything that we needed to. At the close of this service, we will be sharing communion, but let's get into the Word of the Lord. Let's talk about some things that God has revealed to us in His Word. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we'll find our text today. 2 Peter chapter 1, you can find it in your Bible, on your iPad, or your other electronic device. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse number 4. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things, everybody say these things, if these things are yours and abound, the King James says, if it's in you and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated as we share with you on the subject. It all adds up. It all adds up. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for how you blessed us to be in the sanctuary, to be in a time of worship, whether it's in our vehicle, to be at home, wherever we're praying and wherever we're listening from. God, it's a wonderful time to lift up our voices and our hearts to you and say thank you for all you've done. We pray you'd bless the service, bless this time now that we share in your word, that we might gain from it, that we might learn of you, and then go forth to practice those things that you've taught us. Empower us now to be a mighty church through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do pray and ask in his name, and all the people of God said, amen. Amen. It all adds up. It all adds up. What is a dynamic Christian? Has the world really seen the best of us? Or has it seen people that make a profession but are unable to carry through with their abilities? Let me ask you a personal question. What is the best you could be for Christ? How dynamic can you be? And I'm referencing the word that it was used in the New Testament where it talked about the dynamite, the dunamis, the power of God dwelling in the life of the believer. Is that what we see? Or do we see someone who maybe has a bumper sticker? Or maybe they have a cross on their windshield or their rearview mirror? If you come to their home, they might have some symbols or scriptures around the house that would indicate that they believe in God, but what are we seeing in the life of the believer? What is a dynamic Christian? I'm glad you asked that question. We've been talking about going to extremes. And one of the extremes that you need to have is what we call the divine nature of God. It's in this verse. When you were born of God, God did not just give you that average human stony heart. God transformed your heart so that now flowing from your inner being would be the very nature of God himself. And that's to show us that it did not originate, it did not come from us, but it came from God. Peter, in this second epistle, the second letter that he writes to us, Peter brings out the fact that by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his divine power, listen to this, God's divine power so entered into your life that Peter says, by these or by this, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Isn't that something? We wanted God to give us a new car, and here it is. God gave us this abundant life, this Zoe from God. God transferred you out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now he's flooding your life with this newness. He's flooding your heart with this glory, this divine nature of God. I would say that the person who wrote the song, I'm Only Human, does not apply to the Christian. It doesn't apply to us. Because we're more than human because of who invaded, who came into our life. Now, let me ask you a question. When we talk about going to extreme, can people go to the extreme acting like the devil? Can they go to the extreme in some other habit or some other thing, what Peter in this verse calls the lust of the flesh? Can they go to the extreme in expressing that? Yes, they can. Why can't we as the believer, as the child of God, go to the extreme in righteousness? Why can't we exercise this nature of God? It's not up to you except for the fact that you're yielding. You're yielding to God who is working in you. Philippians will tell us that it is Christ that's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he that hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit working in you. So why can't the believer grasp this concept? Why can't we come to grips with this concept of being a dynamic Christian? I would tell you and I would argue right now that I believe we want comfort more than to be filled with God's Spirit. Now, comfort is not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm guilty of that myself. I want to be comfortable. I want to have food to eat. I want to have things done in my life. I don't want to be sick. I just want to be comfortable. You know, I like being comfortable. Roof over my head, I'm happy. But that's not a dynamic Christian. God will bless you with those things. God gives you, y'all might have quiet on me. I'm going to preach anyway, tell you. God gives you all of those things. You have what we call natural blessings, where he causes his sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He causes the rain to fall on the wicked as well as the righteous. But we're not talking about those natural things that God does because of his natural goodness. We're talking about you partaking with God of something that invades your heart, transforms you, and now you're dynamic. That's the type of Christian that changed the world. That's the type of believer that left comfort and went out everywhere proclaiming the truth of Almighty God. So I want to challenge you today. If you're going to go to the extreme, if you're going to be a Christian, be a good one. Don't just be a good one, be a dynamic one. Don't just be a dynamic one, be one that is powerful. Be one that when the Lord looks at you, he said, that's my servant right there. That's my child right there. So, preacher, what do we have to deal with? I believe that we've got to, in some sense, come to the realization that we should stop trying to be like the world and stop trying to be accepted by the world. Jesus said, if you love me, they're going to hate you. And what we've been doing is, why can't we all get along? No, that ain't going to happen. They've been persecuting believers from day one, and they're going to persecute you. But don't worry about it. When they come to do you harm, God is there on your side. God is with you, and he will protect you. And even if he doesn't, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we still ain't going to bow down. Do I have any witnesses in the house? So you got to know what it means to be a dynamic Christian. Is such a thing possible? Can we pull this off? Or we just continue to do what we've been doing and pray God will bless us? I'm being challenged because I can tell you that COVID has changed every one of us. It has impacted you this year. But you know, the good news is you're still here in Jesus' name. Many of us have lost some loved ones because of this pandemic. We've gone through crisis. We've had people to struggle through it. But yet God has you here. God has brought you to this moment in time. And now God is saying to you, will you just be average, or are you going to stand up as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ and put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith? God said that if you do that, I'm going to be with you. Peter is not telling us to do something that is beyond our capability. As we dig into this verse, we'll find that he tells us, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises. Everybody say precious promises. Peter will tell us in that verse, that verse 4, that God has given us these precious promises, that it makes us a partaker of divine nature. But I want you to look at the precious promises that he's talking about. I want you to look at what God is doing to transform us. These precious promises did not come through you, but they came through Christ Jesus. When the Lord came into your life, he gave us access, a door, a way into the resources of God Almighty. Did you not know that you being a creature here on this earth, because Christ is in you, you can go up to the portals of glory, enter in through the gates, go into the holy place, and make your petition known to God? Did you know that? Did you not know that God invites you to come in? Not just every, and now and then, not just every once a year. God invites you to come boldly anytime you want to. He says, come. He says, come to me. And what does God do? We have fellowship with God. What a wonderful thing. But not only do we have fellowship with God through these precious promises, we have the power to go out from the presence of God and not to be a weakling in this world, but we can be a Samson. Now, before you go there, thinking that God's going to give you natural ability to do some stuff. That may not be what your assignment is. While you're in the holy place, talk to him and ask him what the assignment is, okay? But the point that we have is that God gave you precious promises and he refuses to take them back, so that now that those promises, you grab hold of them, and what happens is it will cause you to be this dynamic Christian. You'll be that way when you pray. You'll be that way when you witness. You'll be that way when you show up on your job, in your home. Your loved ones will notice that God is working through you, that God is transforming you in such a powerful way that now you are demonstrating the love of God. God could just remain in glory and leave us to ourselves. And that's what the world would have you to believe, that God has left us to ourselves. And if that's the case, we would not be here. God did not leave you to yourself. God has given you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is now working in you. He's working in me. What is God doing? He's going to transform this world through us by the proclamation of the truth of God. Are y'all still here, or are we too deep in this thing? But I'm here to tell you, if you're going to be extreme Christian, if you're going to go to the extreme, you've got to be the child of God that will say, I'm going to be dynamic. I'm going to have the dynamite of God. I'm going to be the type of person that will go out and allow God to use me for his glory. Are you still here? Before I give you the seven things that Peter talks about in this passage, the next thing I want to tell you about these precious promises is that they last forever. They last forever. God didn't say one time and done, but they last forever. Every time you think about your being weak in the faith, or you're maybe struggling with some issue in your life, all you got to do is start adding. All you've got to do is say, wait a minute, God put some stuff on the foundation of my faith. God gave me some things that when I get weak, I know that he's strong. Look at somebody, tell them, start adding. See, when you start adding, rather than allowing the devil to subtract from your life or divide or do all of these other things, then you can start saying, wait a minute, I'm a child of God here. Wait a minute, I know the Lord. Wait a minute, God didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Start adding. Now, I don't know, I do know a little bit about math. In my math class in the 10th grade, we learned something called the commutative law of addition. Some of y'all forgot that, right? But the commutative law of addition, I don't want you to get hung up on words. Trust me, I don't want to. But the commutative law of addition works this way. It simply says that if you have a set of numbers, you can arrange those numbers in any sequence and it'll still come up with the same sum. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Now y'all saying, well, preacher, what does that have to do with us? Anytime you go, in other words, if you got God's power and his grace working in your life, you can add up virtue in one way. You can add up self-control in another way. But it all adds up. You're going to gain from God the things that you're lacking. What we've been doing is demonstrating to the world how weak we can be, and now it's our time to show them how strong we can be. The Bible doesn't tell you to give in to these things. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. If you're going to be a dynamic Christian, you've got to put on that whole armor of God. So as we look at this, as we look at the dynamic Christian, you don't have that earthly nature. You've got a new nature. You've got the divine nature of God. When God made you, he gave you his nature. When you were born again, he gave you his nature so that now you can walk in this newness of life. I like new stuff. I like new stuff. Amen. I love it because that means nobody else had it before me. Amen. When I was growing up, amen, we had clothes that were given down to us, call them hand-me-downs. But when you do spiritual adding, you can't get hand-me-downs. Y'all not let me talk to you. If you're going to add up, you can't get a hand-me-down. Well, my mama, that was your mama. All right? But my daddy was a good deacon in the church. That was your daddy. What you going to do? How are you going to be a Christian without adding to your foundation of faith? Notice faith is the foundation. Why is that, preacher? Because faith was given to you as a gift from God. People say, I wish I had strong faith. You do. Because God imparted to you the gift of faith. He gave you the ability to believe him. People say, well, I don't know if I can believe God. If you get his gift, you can. Are y'all still here? So for the atheists that may be online listening to this and say, well, I can't believe God. Have you asked God for the gift of faith? If you ask him for the gift of faith, then you can believe him. We have been given something very precious. But the problem has been we haven't built on it. Who in the world would excavate a site and would start clearing the site, leveling it off, and never build anything on it? Peter is talking about building something here. He's talking about the construction of your life. How do you put that life together? Here's how he makes it add up. Here's how he says you address it. First of all, you have those precious promises from God that has given you everything. You don't have to go here and say, well, I'm going to get it from here, and I'm going to get it. You get it all from God. It all comes from God Almighty. And when the believer adds to his faith, the impact affects both, watch this, the quality and the quantity. Are y'all still here? I wish I could preach the way I felt today. In other words, you're going to have good faith. You're going to have righteous faith. You're going to have the quality that God gave you. But not only that, the quantity is going to be good. I know some of y'all have gotten to the place where you say to yourself, I don't think I can take it anymore. Now, you know what just happened? You just made an opportunity for God to show you that you can take it. Are y'all you're not still here. Y'all checking out on me. You're kind of zoning out. Well, if he put anything else on me, I don't know how I can take it. The fact is, you can't by yourself, but you can if you knew who walked with you. If you knew, can I tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. I want to tell you something. Had you not gone through what you've been through, you would not be as strong as you are right now. Are y'all listening? You would have given up a long time ago. And I'm not saying that your life has been perfect, that you've done everything right. Amen. But some of us would have taken up the bottle and not been able to put it down. Are y'all here? Some of us maybe would have gotten hung on drugs or hung out on drugs and never been able to get over it. But thank God we got over it. Because your faith, the faith that God gave you, brought you through every storm. The faith that God gave you brought you through those trials. And when you were knocked down to your knees, you realized, I'm not weak. I'm stronger now because I'm on my knees. And do you not know that when you're on your knees, you can't fall? I wish I had somebody to talk to me in here. You got to trust him. So here's how it adds up. Here's how we go about this adding. The commutative law of math says, or of addition says, you can add it in any sequence. You can start from the top number and add to the bottom number, or start from the bottom number and add to the top of the same sum. Here's the point. Don't stop adding. Some Christians, they'll add one thing, one and done. Well, I done that. No, you better go do some more adding. You better make sure you go back. Don't leave things out. When the Spirit of God begins to impress upon you or give you that unction and that urging, you need to follow that. Don't start saying, well, I'm just as good as Reverend Coleman. Reverend Coleman, I'm going to tell you something. You're just as good as me. You're not that good. Are y'all here? The only goodness I have is the goodness that God gave me. Don't compare your righteousness to me. Amen. Compare your righteousness to Jesus. And if you do that, you're going to be able to live this dynamic life. I love this. I love this. So what do we add, Peter? Well, how do we go through this process? He says, now, first of all, you want to add to your faith virtue. Virtue. What is virtue? Virtue, when you start adding that, that is your moral commitment. It is your inner strength, or what we call inner fortitude, when you go in and you start saying, well, I'm going to add to my faith virtue. We got a lot of people that are doing things that are not committed. that are not committed. And I'm going to say this. I don't care who might disagree with me, but I'm telling you, we live in a sad world when your politicians don't represent you, they represent special interest groups. They represent the lobbyists. And we got a whole bunch of folk in Washington right now, not just the president, not just the Congress, but a lot of people, if you come with the dollars, then you'll get the way the laws are passed in the land. That's the way stuff is run. But we represent the kingdom of Almighty God. Our King is Jesus. He represents us. He represents us before the Father. He represents us because he shed his blood for us. So we have this virtue, which means that we're committed. Never follow anything that you're not committed to. Well, I guess I'll try Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. You guess you're going to follow him. Who else do you have that can save your nasty soul? Who else do you have that can dig you out of your pit? Who else do you have but Jesus? So look at somebody, tell him, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I got to finish preaching here. We're out of time, but I'm not out of sermon. So if you add to your faith virtue, that inner fortitude, but then to your virtue, watch it, it says add knowledge. Are y'all adding? Knowledge means you know something, but you can't know what you have not learned. Are y'all here? Watch this. Most Christians, when they get up on Sunday morning, let me not say most because I don't know all of them. But a lot of them haven't seen their Bible for 7 days. Then on Sunday, well, let me get my iPad. Let me get my Bible. Let me start reading. I don't know about you. Amen. When it comes to natural food, I eat it every day. I don't skip meals. Are y'all here? So when it comes to spiritual food, even if you don't read but one verse, at least get something in your digestive system. Because the devil knows when you're hungry, and he's always going to give you some junk food. Your knowledge comes from the Word of God. Your knowledge, your instruction comes from the Word of God. So you add that to your virtue. And then after you add the virtue knowledge, you add some temperance. And temperance simply means that you can take it, huh? You can go through the struggle, you can go through the trial, and know that God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Tempered in the faith. Tempered in the faith. Some of you have gone through some crazy stuff in your life, but you can say, thank God I made it. How are y'all still here? And then to temperance, something called patience. Lord, have mercy. I'm still dealing with that one. Peter, I'm trying to add, bro. But when I got to that one, I don't know. I get impatient. You know why? You allow your old nature to control your direction. You say to yourself, I ain't taking this, and guess what? You don't. But when you become disciplined, that's what a disciple is. Someone who's disciplined in the things of God, then you will have this thing called patience. And guess what? The teacher, we had Miss Wilburn in our third grade. Miss Wilburn, by the way, I went to a 3-room schoolhouse down in Halifax, Virginia. In the third grade, she had the third and fourth grade. And if you got to a place where you couldn't add the numbers, especially when you had numbers that it was more than one there, when we only had two numbers to add, I was good at that. When we got to that third number, then you, Lord have mercy, when you had to carry. You know, and what am I saying spiritually? I'm saying that a lot of us, the Holy Spirit, if you don't have patience, he's not going to say, well, I'm just going to pass that by. I'm going to give you a C, and you're going to pass that one. No, he said, wait a minute. If you don't have patience, let me put you into some stuff that you're going to be patient. You're going to wait on the Lord. Let me send you down this avenue right here. Let me put you on this street here. And you're going to have to slow down and be patient. How many of y'all are there? How many of you been there? How many of y'all still there? Hallelujah. But thank God for his grace. When you throw up your hands and Lord is in your hands, because it was all the time. It's in your hands. And Lord, I'm asking that you take care of me. Guess what God will do? He will not only bring you through that, but he said you graduated. You got the best grade because you were able to go through it. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. I wish I had more time, but I want to just deal with a couple more things. Add to your patience godliness. Godliness. Somewhere in this journey, you ought to start acting more like Jesus and less like yourself. All right? Here's when you know when you got it. Stuff that you used to cuss about. Now you're saying, thank God. Y'all ain't gonna listen to me today. Stuff that used to have you almost losing your mind. Now you're saying, you know what? That ain't no big stuff. That's not important anymore. What's important is that I glorify God. Here's when you know when you've got this godliness, when you get to a struggle, and the first thing you do is say, Lord, how do I do this? Rather than saying, I know what I'm going to do. The less you educate yourself in how to be selfish, and the more you educate yourself in how to be godly, you're going to go a long way in this Christian life. Give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. Almost done. Almost done. And to godliness, what do we want? Brotherly kindness. I like that word. I wish I had an hour to preach on it. But it just bothers me when you got folk in the church say they belong to Jesus and they can't get along with folk. That'll preach right there. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, it doesn't mean that you got to agree with everybody. It doesn't mean that you got to like what they like and dislike what they dislike. It simply means you have this thing called brotherly kindness. Be kind to one another. Every person that I saw Jesus come in contact with, he had compassion on him. Old-fashioned love that comes from God. And when you have that brotherly kindness, it's going to lead to the next one, and that is love. You got to keep adding as you go through this life. Never throw up your hand and say, well, you know what? I've done enough. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've served as I was supposed to do. I thank God for Reverend Terry. He never said to us that he was perfect, but he kept working. He kept believing. Even when he would come here, he would share word, would encourage us. Amen? That's because he realized that you're not done until the Lord calls you home. And I want to see us as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, we've come through some stuff this year. Things that you thought you couldn't take, but guess what? You can stand up upright, fold your arms, and tell the devil you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm still here in Jesus' name. I have not given up. What we need is bold believers who will say, I kept adding, I didn't multiply because I knew that if I multiply, I was going to mess up. This thing called Christianity is not an overnight thing, but you can keep adding. You can keep adding. And as you add, God will glorify himself through you. I want to tell you a quick story. Adding as a Christian means we reach the place where we show and share the love of God. That's our ultimate outcome, is to show and to share the love of God. There was this wise man. People would come to him with their problems. And, you know, one by one, they all came and said, here's my problem, here's my problem. And then what he found out is that week after week, they would still come to him with the same problem. So the wise man decided, you know what? I'm going to tell him a joke. He told him the joke, and they all laughed. They roared. They just, oh, that's great, that's great. Then he told him a joke again. A few laughed. Then he told him a joke the third time. They didn't even shrug a shoulder. Then he told him a joke the fourth time, and they just started shaking their head. Then the wise man looked at him and said, how is it? I can tell you a joke and you stop laughing at a certain point. But when you come to me with your problem, that problem is the same thing that has been all along and is still there. You can rejoice over things that don't make sense. You can focus on things that are not going anywhere. Did you not know that some of this stuff that we're going through right now is going to end with time anyway? Did you not know that? But only the word of God abides forever. So what he was telling them, draw your attention back to the truth. And rather than adding problem after problem, add good things. Add positive things. Add to your life virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love. Look at somebody this last time and tell them, keep adding. You've come this far by faith. Amen. Leaning on the Lord. Keep adding. Keep adding. And God will bring you to your destiny. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for those that are joining us online, those that are in the sanctuary, and those that are outdoors in the parking lot. Thank you for the sacrifice that they've made to tune in today. Not only tuning in to what this servant has to say, but what your word has to say. We love you so much, God. You could have left us, but instead you're working on us and you're working through us. Bless us that we might be able to fight this good fight and to be that dynamic Christian that gives glory and honor to your name. I pray that if there's someone that does not know Jesus, let them know that they don't have a foundation for their faith. No need to add if you have no or nothing to add to. Give them that foundation of faith, the trust in the shed blood that you made for us on Calvary. And Lord, that you've given your life that we might be free. Bless that person. Help them to simply believe. I pray in Jesus' name. And for the believer that's growing, help us to continue to grow by feeding ourselves, nourishing ourselves on the Word of God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.